Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. I am Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Amen. We are just excited tonight, this morning, that God is in the house. Please let us put our hands together and give God some praise all this morning. Hallelujah. He's worthy of the glory. Hallelujah. And he's worthy of the praise. Amen. I'm excited this morning about what God is getting ready to do in the sanctuary for his people. So I just challenge you that you will get your word on this morning. We are expecting a powerful message, amen, to be delivered from none other than our apostle, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen. We're expecting praise and worship to come forth mightily and powerfully. I don't know about you, people of God, but you just need to have your cups ready to receive, your hands open, amen, and just allow the presence of the Lord to fill wherever you are, to fill your room, to fill your bathroom, to fill your front room, wherever in your car, wherever you may be, just expect the presence of the Lord to be there. Amen. But before I begin, I just want to go right into the book of Psalms 119, chapter 119, verses 140. Just want to just give some encouraging words on this morning before we begin. Amen. The book of Psalms, chapter 119, starting at the 140th verse. Amen. Reading out of the New King James Version this morning, and the Bible reads as such. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delight. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. This is just an encouraging word on this morning from the book of Psalms, chapter 119, reading out of verses 140 to 144. Amen. Amen. His word is pure, and we, his servants, love it. Amen. For there is life in the word of God. Glory to his name. Now, I just want to go quickly into the announcements. Amen. Then following the announcements, there will be prayer. After prayer, you'll hear the next voice you will hear will be praise and worship. And then immediately following that will be none other than the angel of this house, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen. So let me let you know, so the announcements for this morning, people of God, it is as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyle broadcast with Apostle McQueen and myself. Amen. That's 7 p.m. on Tuesday. 7 p.m. on Thursday, join me for Prophetic Atmosphere, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. And then every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and every Sunday at 8:30 a.m., join us for our live broadcast right here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Amen, where we're having our live service. And speaking of live service, amen, for those of you who want to see us live on media, go to our website, www.cckr.org. There, if you go to the media tab at the top of our website, you will be able to see us live and in color. Amen. Also, just want to let you know, if you are actually listening to us on the Blog Talk Radio, same website, www.cckr.org, and you can hear us audio-wise as well. And you can even go back into our archives for those of you who have missed the series that Apostle McQueen has been preaching, the powerful messages. Amen. You just go back into the archives, amen, and you can just be able to hear what the voice of the Lord is saying for you. Amen. Glory to God. So also we'll let you know, if people of God, if you want any information concerning us, or if you would like to invite us out to minister at any one of your engagements, go to the Contact Us page, follow the instructions there, and someone will contact you at our earliest convenience. Or if you just want someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, just do the same. Leave all your information, amen. You don't have to get into great details, amen. Just leave us what you need. We'll go to the throne of the Lord, and then we definitely want to hear back from you so that we know, amen, what God is doing. We want to hear your praise reports as well. Glory to God. Amen. And finally, we have Facebook pages. So go to our Facebook page, like us there, locate us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, or WOPD, also known as Women of Prophetic Destiny. Amen. Like us. Let us see what God is doing for you. Even better than that, let us know how this ministry is blessing your life. We love to hear from you. And for all of you listeners that are out there that have been following us since 2010, we thank you. We won't forget you. We thank you for all the contributions that you have given. We're praying for you, that God is continuously blessing you, that God is continuously pushing you forward, that you are fulfilling your kingdom assignment and lifestyle in him. Amen. Now let us pray, and then immediately following prayer, let's get right into the music for praise and worship. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Excuse me. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for this day that you have given us. Father, we lift your name up in this place. We glorify your name, and we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Oh, Father, even now as we come into this place in the name of Jesus, as we begin to lift up your name, you said, if I be lifted up, that I will draw all men unto me. Now, Father, I ask that you would just begin to saturate this place with your presence and your anointing. God, everything that is not like you, we ask that you would just take it out of us in the name of Jesus. Make us right and make us whole in you in Jesus' name. Father, every spirit that is not like you or not representing you, God, we cast it down in Jesus' name and nail it to the cross with the blood. Father, even now as we begin to just loose your angels in this house, begin to have your way in the lives of your people, Father, begin to speak through the man of God on this morning. Let us hear a right now fresh man of words from on high. Father, I'm asking that this world will begin to arrest, God, that it will begin to break up the fallow ground, that it will begin to move, break the shackles, God, that it will begin to move the scales off of our eyes, and that it will unstop deaf ears on today. In the name of Jesus, that it will clarify minds and hearts, God. Even now, Father, I'm asking that that word will begin to shine the light of truth on the inside of us, Father, anything. And I do mean anything and everything that does not represent you in this place. Father, we just begin to expose it and we cast it out in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that your anointing will purify the hearts and the minds of your people. God, we ask that you would touch everyone that is here under the sound of my voice. God, that you would begin to move mightily on behalf of them. In Jesus' name, that you will begin to build them up in you, build them up in your truth, build them up in your statutes, God. Begin to mature them, Father, in the anointing, mature them in your glory, mature them in your grace, mature them in your word, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Father, we just bless your name. We lift your name up. We glorify your name. We worship your holy name. We bless your holy name. There is none like you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We glorify you for all that you have done. We are thankful for everything that you have done. We thank you for those that you are saving, God. We thank you for those that you have made whole. We thank you for your deliverance. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for your salvation. We bless your name. We glorify your name, and we thank you for all and who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen again. Come on, give us some praise. Hallelujah.
Open up your mouth and your spirit. There is none like you, O God. Hallelujah. Great and mighty are you, O God, today. And we give you glory in this place. Hallelujah. God, we bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Well, once again, it's time to give God some praise and some glory this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's put your hands together for me.
Thank you. I'm I'm Thank you.
Glory to your name. Hallelujah. And we bless them. Hallelujah. Put your hands together all over the building. Worship. We pray that the presence of the Lord, I'm expecting that the presence of the Lord showed up right wherever you are. Those that have a relationship with him, amen, when they call upon his name, he will hear them and he will answer. Amen. And he will answer. There's no situation that is too big. There's no hurt that is too big. There is no pain that is too deep. There is no valley that is too low that God cannot hear your cry. Amen. And I dare for you to, those of you who need the Lord in your life, to begin to call upon him, begin to worship him, begin to praise him. He shall feel. He shall hear. He shall answer. He shall come to the rescue. Amen. He will come to the rescue. Amen. Those that belong to him. Amen. He says that I have you carved in my hand. Amen. Glory to God. You have to understand that there is no one like our God. There's no one like your God. There's no one like your King. If you are not saved today, I invite you to become saved. I invite you to ask Jesus into your heart on today. Today is a good day to be saved. Amen. Any day is a good day to be saved. Amen. Just to begin to call on the name of the Lord and ask him to just live within you. And I guarantee your life will change. Amen. It's not in your mouth. Deliverance is in your mouth. That's what's in the word. So you have to understand that you have the power and the authority, amen, to call unto him and watch him show up, amen. And that's what I like about him. He will never leave you nor forsake you in whatever situation you may be in, amen. And yes, the struggle is real, and yes, it is a challenge, but you have to understand you have a helper, and that helper is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And you know my favorite scripture, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And once you recognize the power that lives on the inside of you, people of God, there's no devil in hell that can stand up against you. There's no situation that can overtake you. There's no circumstance that can remove you. You stand flat-footed on his word, and he shall deliver you. Amen? Amen. Let us put our hands together one more time. Amen. Let's be blessed in the name of the Lord. Amen. You got to know that God is for you. Amen. In spite of everything that you're going through, he is for you. Glory to God. Well, we enjoyed the praise and worship. Amen. The presence of the Lord moved mightily. And now we are preparing ourselves to go into the next portion of the service. Amen. And that is the word of God. Amen. That's a good time to give God praise. Amen. In spite of everything, it's the word that we live by. It's the word that we exist by. It's the word that we continue to move. Amen. And have our being in the word. Amen. There's nothing greater than the word of God. Amen. And I just challenge you to fall in love with the word. Amen. And when you fall in love with the word, the more you fall in love with him. Amen. Glory to God. So without any more further ado, amen. Let us prepare our hearts to receive the angel of this house and another than my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Let us receive him. Amen.
I want to say to everyone, God is good.
God is good.
I want you to all
the Lord gave you. Celebrating Jesus, amen, and Woman of Prophetic Destiny Conference, amen, I mean fellowship, And let me say this, even though you hear the word woman in there, don't take it that this is a woman's conference. It is a prophetic event. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that again. It is not a woman's conference. It is a prophetic event. Amen? And Prophetess Crystal and myself, Apostle Chris, we'll both be dealing with the impartation and the directive that God has given us. We got too many false prophets running around here. Don't nobody know the difference. And because we don't know the difference, they're just walking all over God's people. And I don't know about you, but as a man of God, I take little offense to the fact that sheep, amen, are being misled, amen. I don't like it, amen. And if you were a true man, a woman of God, you shouldn't like it either. I didn't say I want to come over here so I can get my hand at messing them up. No, I didn't say that. I said I take offense at the fact that there are people, amen, who are destroying and messing over God's people. So the way to deal with that is to teach, amen, so that they can learn, amen, amen. Then we would have coming up October 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th, amen. We'll go from Thursday to Sunday, amen. In October for Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. And I'm telling you the things that are going to happen are going to be dynamic. You really want to be a part of this. Amen. In November the 14th, 15th, amen, our single conference will be going on. Amen. And I like that because we got too many single people running around with nothing to do. Amen. And you know, I don't mind. Amen, Jesus. Amen. So we have to get people focused on Jesus. I say focus on glory, not focus on the glory. Amen. Amen. All right. And then coming up in January, we'll be doing the Joshua Generation Young Warriors Conference. Now, leading up to each one of these, we will be doing a series of different events that will be going on that will help. Amen. With what we're going to look for overall. Amen. If you are in Brevard County in Florida, in Brevard County or in Orange or even Volusia or Seminole or Indian River, y'all should be trying to make your way this way. Amen. Because if you do so, then you'll find that you're going to encounter, amen, a worship experience. You're going to encounter experience with God, amen. And it's too often what people do is they go to a conference, have a good time, and they go sit down. You came in messed up, you walk out messed up, amen. And what we're seeking to do is make sure that you come in as you were, but you leave as He designed you to be, amen. At least you're on the right path to which way you need to go, amen. Some transformations happen quick. And some people just need to stay in the water a little bit longer and soften up some more. Amen? Amen. You have to take a pot that's been sitting on the stove for a little bit, and you get it in the water and you get ready to wash it, and it don't look. But you leave that pot sit there a little bit and then come back to that pot. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And then when you go to clean it, everything come out. Sometimes you just take a little bit longer. Amen? Amen. But even at that, we know that the efficacious properties of the blood of Jesus will work in every situation, and He cleanses us and keeps us clean. Amen? Amen. Go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. We are adjusting, amen, those that we are supporting, amen, over in Africa and other places. Our websites will soon mirror those changes, amen. And I'm just of the mind that God has the right people in the right place to do the right work, amen. And when you find those who are not doing it or those who are putting on airs, then it's up to us, amen, to mark those, the Bible says. Huh? So when we begin to connect and see where you are, is based on your agreement to do what God says do. And when we find that you are doing otherwise, then it is our job then to come together and try to reason. And if we cannot get an understanding, then to release you into your own power. Amen. So you'll see some changes coming up on the website. But that shouldn't hinder you wanting to help support the work, amen, of ministry, because we need to make sure that the work is going forward and that it's doing what God designed for it to do. That is us, the body of Christ, supplying every joint supply, amen, doing what we can to help fulfill and sustain the body. Amen. That's why we come to you and give you the opportunity to sow into this ministry and into this work. Amen. Now, let's get into this word. Father, right now, anoint my mouth, anoint my mind, give me clarity of thought. Anoint the ears of the listeners and their minds that they will hear the word that is spoken. Help us right now, Lord, to not focus on any man or anything, but to focus on you. Lord, you're speaking now. Help us to be attentive to your voice. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's go quickly into the word. We're going into John, the 9th chapter, and we're going to start the first verse. And I want you to know that we're about to celebrate Labor Day. Amen. Tomorrow, there's a lot of people who are going to eat a lot of barbecue. Okay, me too. And we're just going to enjoy ourselves. It is a national holiday, man. There are other holidays like this. Some of them are in May, May the 1st, or around in there, and in other nations. And even in Canada, Labor Day is recognized there. But for us, Labor Day is the first Monday in September. It was moved because of an event that happened in May, amen, when they were commemorating the whole workers and the laborers, okay, the American labor movement. So they moved it from May because they didn't want to celebrate the massacre that happened on the day. It's too close. They moved it then to September, amen? So today's message, we're going to deal with working. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, is it working?
Is it working?
Come on, ask him that question. Is it working?
Is it working?
Amen. Let's go here and let's begin to read here. We're going to read just the first 11 verses, and then yes, I am in my text, amen, so I am in my dissertation, I will go down to 30th through the 39th verse, amen? Amen. Let's read, I'll go from the New King James Version, you all can read on the prompter there, amen. It says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I want y'all to really just pay attention to that. Amen. All right. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground. Everybody say he spat.
He spat.
Lord Jesus, this is part of a three-part series that I preach sometimes. What's in a little spit. Amen. But we're not going that route, so let's keep going. Amen. He spat on the ground and made clay with saliva and anointed the eyes of the man, of the blind man, with the clay and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sin. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And so I went and washed and received sight. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Listen, in this passage of scripture, we must first of all note that there are several things here that we could preach on at length, just taking them and working them out. Amen. But as a whole, we want to put it in context that you see that there is something that happens when you are working.
Okay.
Amen?
Yeah.
Come on, let's stay with me now, because we talk about Labor Day. And the funny thing about a lot of people that I found out is that they want reward for no labor.
Oh, that's preach.
How can you get reward if you have not put the work in? Huh? The Bible tells us very clearly, and you have to understand that Jesus is speaking here. He said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. So then Jesus himself was a worker. Yeah, I think that we as Christians have to be Christ-like. That's what we're supposed to be. The word Christian means a follower or a disciple after Christ. We follow his ways, his examples, his precepts for our life. Amen? We are ones who are supposed to look just like Jesus. The problem that I'm finding is that a lot of us don't look like him. Oh, God. Because we're lazy. Oh. We want somebody to lay hands on us. We don't want to turn down our plate. We want somebody else to explain the word to us. We don't want to get into it for ourselves. We want somebody else to pray for us and do all the work for us. But we want to sit back and enjoy the fruits of their labor. Well, God is trying to get us as his children to get up out of the seat of do nothing and get to work. Look at your neighbor and say, get to work.
Get to work.
Come on, tell him again, get to work.
Get to work.
I'm trying to help you out right now because there are several things that we need to look at, amen? And as we begin to study them and go into this, then you'll clearly see that there are some things that we cannot get, we will not have until we are obedient, oh, there's that word, to what God said to us, amen? God's plan, God's directives are in such a way that when God speaks, we listen, we hear, amen, we obey, we receive, amen?
Amen.
He speaks, we listen, we obey, we receive. Say it with me. He speaks,
we listen,
we obey,
we receive.
Now, this is the disconnect here, is that God will speak to us. We'll hear what he said, and then we start the bartering process. Well, Lord, I don't feel like doing all that. How about if I only, you know, if I meet you on Tuesday and Friday about noon, and I think I got a little time in there. If I come and give you that, will you still bless me? And the Lord says, no, I'm not going to bless you for what you're trying to give me. I want what I'm asking for from you. Amen. It is our responsibility, then, to give God what he desires from us. Amen?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, we got to work this thing out. Come on, say it again. We got to work this thing out. So when we begin to then do what God has spoken to us, not just hearing, but listening, amen? Big difference here.
Yeah.
Okay. You ever, speaking to parents, have you ever told your child to go and get something? I want you to go to the front of the church, and on the podium, on the left-hand side, right at the top, you'll find a gold rag. Go get that for me and bring it back. And that child comes and looks every place and can't find nothing. So that I ain't see you. He said, no, did you go to the front of church? Huh? Did you go to where the podium was? Did you look on the podium at the top, at the left-hand side? Did you look there because you would have seen the gold rat? Go back and look again at the front of the church, on the podium, at the very top, on the left-hand side, and bring me the gold rat. And that child will go and spend about 20 minutes, come back with tears in their eyes, frustrated. And then you get up and say, you know what, if I go in there and find it, see, you come in and you say, it's right here where I told you at the front of the church, or the podium at the top, or the left-hand corner. How come you say, oh, no. Now, every parent right now is having a flashback because we do it and the kids come back. Wait a minute. Hold on now. Let's make this spiritual. Isn't this how we do God? God gives us clear directives and we heard it, but we didn't listen to a word that he said because I was in the place. I was trying to get back to my TV show. I was trying to do my thing. You see what's going on here? And when that happens, then we'll go to where God said, but we'll miss the directive. Because even though we heard it, we didn't listen to the word. The reward you get then normally look like that instead of like that. You see? Sometimes reward come like that. Instead of like that. Huh? So God is trying to get us in. He's trying to get us to receive from him. But that comes after he has spoken and we are obedient to him. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's look at this text here so you can see what's going on. Because we talk about the miracles of Jesus, but we sometimes miss that there is a process to receiving from God. Let's look at this. First of all, let's set this up as it needs to be. The first thing that we need to see here is that there was a man who was blind from birth. Everybody say from birth. That means that if the man was to start seeing right now, he would not know what it was that was happening to him, being that he had never saw before. He did not have experience with sight. Huh? This is something that is brand new to him. It is an anomaly to his existence because he never had the ability to see. Everything that he knows, you understand. We're talking not of a child. We're talking about a man. Everybody say a man.
A man.
Come on, say it with me. A grown man.
A grown man.
If you had a chance to read down past the 11th verse before we got to the 30th verse, you would see that they speak some words that Peter speaks when the Jews come to them and they begin to question, is this your child? And they're fearing them because they might be put out. They said, he's of age, ask him. He was grown. So that means that everything in his life then was experienced without the gift of sight. He experienced his childhood, his adolescence with feeling and hearing and tasting, but he could not see anything. First thing that they did was they attributed his lack of sight to who his parents were. Oh. Isn't that how we do it? Oh, y'all ain't no good. Ain't nobody ever been good over there. Man. Everything that it means to us. I'm talking local folks. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Huh? So you say, you see that pretty much right there? That was just an amen to what I just said. Now, think about it like this. There are people who have been judged based on where they came from. Not necessarily where they arrived. Hmm? This man here is sitting there. He's a beggar. We find out in the text, and the disciples ask him, and this is interesting because these are those who are following Jesus who should have had more intelligence in this matter. But they're asking him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus gives them an answer that should shock everybody. He said, neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. There, I just say right now, at this moment in time, there are some things that are going on in your life, from your past, in your experience, that have nothing to do with you or your genealogy. It has nothing to do with how you came up and who your parents were. It has everything to do with what God is trying to do with you. This man, when he was born years ago, had to have come up with this ailment so that at this point in time, he would actually be able to be at the right place to receive a miracle from God that would give everybody else something to celebrate Jesus with. Jesus says here, neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I want you to know that the word work here is very interesting. Work simply is a mental or physical exertion. Huh? Now, I'm going to give you the definition that I came up with or that I saw that really blessed me when I was looking at this and reading through it. I want to make sure that I had something that was good. So I wanted to understand what work and labor was, amen? And as I began to look at work and labor, it began to help me to understand some things, amen? First of all, labor is a physical or mental effort. It is an expenditure of physical or mental effort, especially when difficult or compulsory. In other words, when you are doing work, you are doing a physical or mental exercise. But when you are laboring in it, it is something that is difficult. Like women, when they give birth, it's called labor. Because it is not something easy, it is something that is difficult. Amen? Thank God I'm a man. I don't have to experience that. Yeah, you should have played a good ASAP right there.
I think all men would have shouted around the building.
Okay, listen. Okay. Well, labor is a physical, mental effort, okay? And when we begin to deal with labor, we begin to see then that it is difficult to do, amen? Huh? Work, though, is slightly different, amen? It is activity, amen? In which someone exerts strength or faculty to do or to perform something. It is sustained physical or mental effort to overcome obstacles and achieve an objective or result. Y'all see that? So when we're talking about work, we're talking about having not just the effort, but also having an objective that can be overcome. Amen? So Jesus speaks here that the works of God should be revealed in him. And then he goes on to say something here that we need to look at. He said, I must work the works. Look at your neighbor and say, work the works. Come on, say it again, work the works. Now, there's something that's interesting because we say work the works sounds like a play on words. But really, Jesus is saying that there is some exertion that has to go on here to complete the objectives that God the Father has given me. And I have to do what it is he's given me while I have time. Gives me my first point. Work is given by an employer with the promise of payment for your labor. So if I'm going to do work, Someone, first of all, has to give me the assignment.
Oh, Jesus, right there.
Okay? So you are looking at the fact that everybody's doing something, but everybody is not doing an assignment. It never ceases to amaze me that if you find a bum or somebody walking the street who is homeless, they got a lot to do, but they don't have nothing to do. Y'all see what I'm saying? Isn't it interesting kids can play all day, but don't have nothing to do? Y'all see that? So there's a difference in work and in your assignment. Amen? Look what it says here. It says, I must work the works of him who sent me. God gave me an assignment, and I have to do the assignment. Amen?
All right.
Look at your neighbor and say, stick to your assignment. If you stick to your assignment, then you can get something from God. Because every time God gives an assignment, it's always with a payment. Your labor will never be in vain. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, thank God for that.
Amen.
I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Point number two. Every work assignment has a specific period of time in which it has to be accomplished. Every work assignment has a period of time in which it has to be accomplished. For those who are students, you work as a student. That is your employee. Amen? And your assignment, homework, has to be done when the teacher says, turn it in. You can't just march up and throw your report on the desk and talk about, I got it done.
Should be happy it was done.
Oh, wait a minute, hold on. This is late, and we're going to mark off certain points for it being late, and then depending on the level of work you've done, sometimes it is marked all the way down to, we're not even going to raise it. I remember in my last semester, the English teacher said this. She said, if you turn in your work late, it will not even be observed to be graded. That means you stayed up all night, all day, you're tired, and you get there 2 minutes late to put it on the desk, and she says, I'm sorry, I can't grade this. And no matter what you say to plead your point, it was already known at the very beginning that no late assignment will be accepted. We say that's rough, but think about this here. If God gives you an assignment and he gives you a specific period of time into it and you don't do it, guess what? Don't let him catch you with your work enough. Oh, Jesus. See, because what we're doing now is we're trying to get God to barter with us. God said, move now. Well, I don't feel like moving now. Well, who else is going? How come I got to be the person? All those questions we come up with, and we simply are doing one thing. Look at your neighbor and say, we're just being disobedient.
You're just being
disobedient. Say it again. You're just being disobedient. See, when God says move, then God means move. Okay? Because he understands the end at the beginning. He knows the timing of his work to you to move. Now, if I'm gonna throw something at the back wall, a brick, say, and I'm gonna aim at that point right there, and I say I'm gonna aim right here, I'm gonna throw this brick. If you stand right there, knowing that I said I'm gonna do it, and you get hit in the head with a brick, don't you turn around and be upset at nobody but yourself?
Amen.
You knew ahead of time that it was coming. Well, look at this. God knows that there's a brick going to hit the wall right there, and he simply tells us, because he loves us, move from that spot. And we're like, well, I got to move. This is my favorite. I like right here. This is comfortable. I'm going to boom. Oh, Lord, that's terrible. How do you go? Wait a minute. Hold on. That was the result of disobedience. See, and the thing is that God has been speaking to us so clearly, but he has to be showing, how can I say this? Back in the day when you disobeyed God, it happened right then. Not when we disobey God, you don't see it happen like that, so people think that God ain't going to do nothing. Look at your neighbor and say, don't fool yourself. God knows exactly what he's doing. What you're doing right now is you're operating under grace. Amen? And mercy. Let me tell you, grace and mercy have to end. When you get it, you have earned it. Amen? All right. Specific point on time. You have to complete it. Amen? Now, two things I want to really work on here, and I'm just going to hit on them. We're going to come back to these. Amen? Because I really want to work on this. He gave me some revelation concerning this whole passage right here. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming. Look at your neighbor and say, the night is coming. When no one can work. One of the most frustrating things that you ever have to do is try to figure out how to complete something that there's no more time. Procrastination has deterred many destinies. Because you knew enough time to see what was out there and see what you were working with. But the nighttime came, lights out, and now you're blind, just like the man we're talking about in this passage. Because when night comes, your ability to discern your surroundings is gone. You see that? You can't see it anymore. You don't understand it anymore. It's not clear to you by your faculties, your touch, your sight, or anything else. You lose the ability to actually tell what is, I can tell it's paper, but I cannot read what's on it. You see? So your information gathering now ceases, and you still have to complete the task. Jesus said, while it is day, the night is coming when no one can work. Now, this is the point that he showed me right here that I want to get back to. Listen close. It says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. My question to you is, Jesus ascended up. Who's the light in the world now? Who is the light right now? The Bible says he makes his ministers a flame of fire. What is fire? Light first. It's heat. It's cleansing. It's destructive. It's renewal. Do you know if forest fires don't happen, then there are certain seeds that will not burst out of their pot because it takes that extreme heat to germinate them into the next level. That's how forests repopulate themselves after mass burning. We think that we're doing something by keeping certain burnings from going on. But God sends his ministers through to burn certain things down so that it can be renewed. Amen? All right, y'all. So if Jesus was the light of the world, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. What the Holy Spirit said to me early this morning about 3:34 or 5, he said, you are the light. Okay. And if we are the light, what should we be doing? Can I ask a question? If we're the light, how come there's so much darkness around us? See, the problem here is that we have not begun to work the work. What Doesn't it make sense that Jesus is asking the question, or he's making the statement that I must do the work? He was, and it says, I am the light. That those of us who belong to Christ should be the light doing the work. All right. Come on, let's move. Let's move. Let's move. All right? When he said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with saliva, anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The word wash, you have to understand, washing is not just throwing water on yourself. Can I just go back to my childhood? I'm going to, you know, just talk about me. When I was a child, Mom used to send us up, you know, there's four boys, four girls for us. And I was next to the youngest, so Mom would tell everybody it's bath time and everything else and get ready for bed. And then, you know, how they do, they come and check to see if you had, you know, did what you're supposed to do. Amen. Check behind the ears and see if there's any water. Get it or anything else. Come over here, give me a hug. Did you wash up like you said you did? Yes, ma'am. Did you use soap? Go back upstairs and wash. Now, what am I saying here? When Jesus told this man to go wash, he didn't say go dip. Washing then refers to an action. The man had to work himself. Y'all see that? Huh? Do you see that he had to wash himself in the pool? In other words, instead of just getting over there to the pool and a little sprinkle of water on you, can I see yes? No. What it told him was to be obedient and get to work. Y'all see it? And when he went, he washed in the pool. And when he washed, he came back. See? Now, I'm skipping over the spit part because we don't have enough time for me to really get into it like I would want to. But understand that if Jesus didn't speak to him and get a little oil and say, and be healed, he went directly to the foulest thing that he could find. It's not foul that if you have an illness that will and begin to make in the dirt something to pull on your most sensitive organ, your eyes. Get a little dirt speck in your eye and see if you don't be over this time. He went and got dirt that has been spitting.
God help us today.
And it is what would turn our stomachs and make us upset. He used that very thing to heal this man. Notice he applied that hurt to him, but he never took it off him. He had to walk to get it off of him at the pool. God will use things in your life that will turn other people's stomach and make people walk away from the situation. They'll leave the process. They'll walk away from everything because of how they have to deal with the process. But it's that very thing that God will use to bring you out. And when you come out, you'll come out walking in light. Oh, my God. This man here was obedient because he said to himself, first, go wash in the pool. If he had a texture that I don't believe that he spit in the ground and put that dirty spit in my eyes, he would be blind to this day. Instead, he was obedient. Look at your neighbor and just ask this one question. What has your obedience, disobedience, caused you not to have?
Disobedience.
What has your disobedience caused you not to have? Oh, God. Oh, I don't believe they ask me to. They don't know who they're talking to. He knows exactly what he's talking to. And it's that process right there that's going to tear your pride down and allow God to stand up in you because you have to be humble to go through this type of process.
Yeah.
How many have not received their deliverance because they don't want to go through the process they have to receive it? It's difficult. I know the man's eyes were, he couldn't see from birth. Well, I'm quite sure his hearing was quite acute. And then to feel it, oh, I know where that came from. Go wash in the pool. Lord, I wish I could preach this like I really want to. Lord, I want to be obedient to you. Take me, Jesus, whichever way. Take me as I am. Are you alone? You want to go through this process? Lord, my time is away from me. I wish I could preach it like I want. This, we're gonna have. I just have to give you the end part just a little bit, but we gotta go back and work through this. Because when you look at this right here, this is the cusp of the matter. This is the core of the matter. We're too proud to be healed. We're too proud to be delivered.
And God can't do nothing with them.
I would not have chosen the manner in which I ended up coming to Christ. But I thank God that I did. Amen. Single father with a child and trying to make ends meet in a foreign city and area. Don't know nobody, don't have no family, don't have nothing. Yet still. God used that situation to bring me to a yes moment. It is that yes moment that caused me now to be able to witness to you and speak to you on behalf of the Lord as his ambassador, as an apostle. When I talk about where I come from, I talk about that because I don't want you to think that I was goody two-shoes all of my life. I want you to think that I've never had a moment or two of doubt or sin nature that just my flesh just came up and showed. No, I want you to know that I wasn't always this great and wonderful. Amen? But God loved me enough that he looked down and began to work on me. And I'm grateful to God that he loved me to sometimes stick on me and apply to my situation. Maybe you are going through some things in your life and you need the Lord to speak into your life. You say, Lord, I'm going through so much. I feel like I've been spit upon. Well, my brother, my sister, if that's you, maybe you just need the next part, which is the assignment to go and wash so you can come back, restore, renew. Refurbished. You know, when I send something back and they refurbish it, what they do is they make it better than new. When I bought it, the technology was there. When it goes back for refurbished, it comes back with the upgraded systems and the upgraded components and the upgraded, even though it's the old, it has all the new. So God is trying to do that in your life. If you want to be saved, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, simply pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you would lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible-believing church, where they may be matured and developed and go on to do the work that you've given them to do. I pray now for the sick and shut-in. I pray for those who need deliverance. I pray for those who need miracles, signs, and wonders to manifest in their life. I pray right now that they would manifest in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you would get the glory out of their lives and out of every situation in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you in advance for all that you have done and all that you're going to do. I thank you for the souls that are being saved even now. Lord, come into their life and show yourself strong on their behalf. so that there's no doubt no one gets the glory but you. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done, and we love you. In your matchless name, Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel around the world. Amen. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, along with my wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We'll see you on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. for Kingdom Lifestyle. You be blessed. Come on, let's give God a prayer.